cross to give us hope, to give us an eternal hope of an eternal address. I pray as we approach this message this evening, as far as leadership goes, between the world's view and the spiritual view, your view of leadership, it parallels even the situations that we're dealing with even in the churches today that we were talking about. I pray that you will change that direction as far as being a God of convenience to a God of back to a God of priority and the cornerstone of each and every family out there, a possible revival if it be your will. I pray as we approach this message that your word will be understood, heard, and maybe touched a heart, minds, and souls this evening. I thank you again for each and every member here that came out, and for those that aren't, I pray for their safety as well and the direction of the pastor and his wife, that you'd give a little R&R and safety and direction and wisdom each and every day, wherever they may be, and bring them back safely as well. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. As I said earlier tonight, today we're going to be going through as far as study on servanthood and leadership, as far as what the world, how the world views leadership, and how Christ views leadership, not only in the church, in our own homes, and business, and out in the world, wherever we may be, but I'm going to give you, we have been going over John, we just passed through John 8. I'm going to give a little summary, an overview of John 8, and then we're going to move on into the lesson itself. But John 8 depicts one long showdown between two conflicting worldviews. It begins with a woman caught committing adultery, verses 1 through 11, then moves on to an argument between Jesus and the Pharisees about their fleshly judgment, verses 12 through 30. Next, the Lord explains what it means to truly be born of Abraham in verses 31 through 47. And finally, he debates the synagogue leaders about his identity, verses 48 through the end of the chapter. The flawed worldview of the Jewish leaders contributed greatly to the continuing inability to understand Jesus. They sat in a place of power and feared being displaced. Jesus taught that leadership meant serving others. They sought titles and positions of honor. Jesus taught that leadership meant giving uprights. They took pride in their heritage as sons of Abraham. Jesus told them that their actions revealed their true father. And that's when they had enough. Jesus was simply way too radical for them. How many times have you heard it in today's society that anyone that speaks the truth, backed by facts and the word of God, as being described as too radical in today's society? Every time we turn around, we've heard of this person's too radical, that person's got too many radical beliefs, this person believes that. It's unbelievable that anyone that speaks the truth, we've gone to the society so far in our society that anything that comes out of anyone's mouth is considered truth. It doesn't have to be backed up by facts. It doesn't have to be backed up by history. It doesn't have to be backed up by the Word of God. It doesn't have to be backed up by anything, really. I mean, whether you're talking about mathematics, science, or anything else. It's gone that far in today's society, and we wonder why people are identifying as everything else but human. It's amazing. Life is considered, the doctors and the scientists and everything, they consider life, bacteria, to be life on Mars, but down here on Earth, they don't consider a heartbeat to be life on Earth. I mean, where are we headed here? The leadership role has been lost. The idea of the leadership goes as far as it's been lost. But still, the Pharisees couldn't win a debate with Christ. He seemed to know the scriptures better than they did. He was different from them, but much to their disappointment, he was right. The Pharisees sought power and already competed with the Roman Empire for control of the masses. Not only did they have to deal with their own king, Herod, but they also needed to consider a Roman governor named Pontius Pilate. Consequently, They protected every bit of turf they could. The sad part, it turned into a turf war. I mean, you hear turf wars going on in the inner cities in Detroit, Chicago, New York City, San Diego, Los Angeles. They call them turf wars. I mean, between gangs, rival gangs. But that's where you hear the word, the term turf war coming when it came around. I mean, the old Italian, the Italians in New York, I mean, it was a turf war between them and the Irish. I mean, it depends on how, it doesn't matter from the beginning of time till now, someone is always looking to protect their own turf. Does it sound like any leader you know, someone who fights to maintain man-made traditions and rules? Someone blind to the needs of others and preoccupied with himself or herself? Such leaders stand in contrast to the servant leadership Jesus modeled. We're going to take a look at rundown here through some issues here and how the secular leaders handle and how spiritual leaders handle them. First would be the heart of leadership. Who is considered a leader in today's world by today's society? Who would be considered a leader in today's society? Okay. I can give you that one. The boss, our bosses, supervisors, they're considered leaders. As far as spiritual leadership, who would be considered the leader? Okay, right, pastors. We're going to go for it. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 15, if you would, to start off. This is going to be a foundation. We're going to lay a foundation. There's a few issues. It's probably about 7 or 8 issues here. We won't get to them all, but the first, I numbered them in order. They lay a foundation for the rest to be built on. And this is where the heart of leadership comes from. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 15. For though ye have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have ye not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus, I have begotten you through the gospel. It's plain and simple. I mean, he lays the foundation of our body, the spiritual leader. From pastors anywhere, from pastors to missions to youth pastors. But God, ultimately, like I said, like we talked about before, is the cornerstone of the home. Is the corner. He's the leader, the ultimate leader of our Father. But it lays a foundation for what we need to mold and fashion our lives like. And not only in church, the leaders in church, doesn't matter if you're talking about deacons, pastors, but mostly, more so inside. We need to clean out. We learned at the men's conference, you need to clean out your own closet before you can become the leader that you need to be. We all have closets that some are deeper than others, and some are a lot more dirty, some are a lot dirtier than others. But it's a constant cleaning that needs. It's a daily cleaning, basically. you're talking about cleaning out the house. I heard you're talking about taking box after box after box. It's a constant cleaning. It's a daily cleaning. Wendy, you saw, I said after you when you downsize so much, you start take out the door, start throwing stuff out. It's a constant cleaning that we need. Our own lives. We need to examine our own lives each and every day because nobody's perfect. I mean, nobody would be. It comes down to an examination of your heart, your mind, and your soul before Christ each and every day. And like I said, we've turned him into a God of convenience more so than a God of priority. And I'm as guilty as anyone else. I'm looking in the mirror the same as anyone else when it comes down to we treat him like a God of convenience when it's convenient to us. Sometimes you only run to him whenever we have problems, whenever a need arises. But we should go to him not only in the bad times, but the good times as well, to thank him for the simple blessings that we have. Like I said, the strength each morning to get to put your feet on the ground, get out of bed and put your feet on the floor. There are people that can't even do that. They can't even get out of bed. They would love to be able to get out of bed and walk down the steps, maybe into the kitchen, make their own breakfast, and they can't. simply because of a disease, some kind of physical defect, whatever it may be. But the simple blessings in life, we tend to overlook. I mean, the blood flows through our veins, the air we breathe, God holds in his hands. And the safety and the wisdom and direction he gives us each and every day of our lives, where no matter what situation where we're at. I look back on the many years that I didn't want to admit it then, when I was going through that valley and the many years where I put myself. But as I look back now, and I can't help but see almost each and every time he was always there. His grace got me through what it got me through, no matter what. And like I said, I thank God. I shouldn't be standing here today. I know for a fact I shouldn't be standing here today many times over. And it's only by his grace that I am standing here and doing what I am. I can't praise or thank him enough for that. And that's the foundation that the whole leadership quality is based on. And it's not by far. I'm looking at different, as far as different job possibilities, maybe teaching younger kids, like Justin does, helps downtown Tynesta. They're opening up in Sheffield. On whether or not I, as far as the teenagers that they were having, I got a phone call. I'm going to have to give them a call back. But I taught the older people. I taught GED before for years, but it was adults that wanted their GED. They wanted the education and everything else. But it's leadership positions that they put us in. Like Wendy said, when God opens the door, I mean, don't stand there and look at it. I mean, it's sometimes we try to force open doors. I've kicked enough of doors open, and I've had enough of them slammed in my face in time, and I've paid for it many times over. And I could write volumes about it. And the force, the bull in the china shop, Pastor talked about Peter being a bull in the china shop. There's a time to be at the bull in the china shop for Christ. But the bull in the china shop don't. We have a lot of broken bones, bruises, and scars throughout our lives. But if he's going to put people in a position as far as leadership roles go, whether it be in homes, churches, mission fields, whatever the mission field may be, if the door opens, it's all I can say. I'll walk through it. I'm going to take the chance, take the opportunity, even in today's society. But we're going to go on to number two. The second foundation building is just how to gain influence. That's the second issue that we have on this list. And how does secular leaders, do the worldly leaders, how do they gain influence or leadership in today's society? Just throw out some ideas. Fear, manipulation. I mean, if you want to go the old lie, cheat, steal. It's a fact. I mean, everybody's seen bosses. Everybody's worked for bosses, supervisors. How they see how people get ahead in today's society in the workforce. That's psychology, yeah, and that's psychology 101. You know, they tend to work on everybody's psychology. They make you think it's their wonderful idea. But God, with the common sense that he gives you, that God gives you, you can just read through the read between the lines. But we're going to go to Philippians chapter 2, verses 3-11 to see how spiritual leaders are supposed to handle that. If you would turn to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, verses 3-11. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. He kind of spells it out right there, how to gain, the question with issue number two, how to gain influence, how a spiritual leader gains influence. It's kind of, verse seven, it says, but he made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant. That goes entirely against everything that the world teaches out there today. Because every time, it doesn't matter who you work for, or where you work, everybody is trying to make a name for themselves somehow, some way, in some form, some shape. They want to be. They want to work to the top of the ladder. They want to be at the top of the ladder to be able to tell people what to do, how to do it, when to do it. But as you see in 7, he said, "But he made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men." Christ lowered himself. I mean, he became flesh for us. He became like man for a purpose in life, to prove many, many promises and to answer many, many promises he's already given down through the pages of history throughout the Bible, all the way from Genesis till now until Revelation. And there's only one. Like he said at 10, verses 10 and 11, that the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, the glory of God the Father. It comes down to the foundation of truth. Leadership is based on the truth from the Word of God, and not just any truth, not just what anybody says. They'll tell you when you sit under any pastor or any preacher, it doesn't matter, youth pastor, whoever, to test his words against the Word of God, what you hold in your hand. And like you said, you can read between the lines when it comes down to it, when a situation presents itself, whether someone's trying to get ahead or get to make a way for themselves. Make a path to the leadership role, whether it be a boss, supervisor, or whatever else. But God, I mean, he says to love people. That's what a spiritual leader does. That's how a spiritual leader gains influence with the people. There is no fanfare. There isn't no making a name for oneself. There isn't no let everybody know that I did this, that I did that. Comes down to the same when you start hearing that kind of conversation vocabulary come out of someone's mouth. It's the same as what I talked about as far as addiction goes. You hear someone start using the vocabulary, I have to do this, I have to do that, I got to do this, I got to do that, I must. They're addicted to something. It's the same thing when you're talking about the leadership role. I said to be a leader as far as in the secular world. Or the spiritual realm. You start hearing the conversation is going to change, the vocabulary is going to change. You're not going to say, I did this, I did that, I got to do this, I have to do that. To Christ thanking God for where they're at, where they put them, and the opportunities Christ afforded them throughout their lives, no matter what the life, whether you're in a valley, on a mountaintop high right now, going up the valley, coming out of the valley, going down. It doesn't matter where you're at. The vocabulary will change. You'll start hearing the vocabulary, the English and vocabulary change from I got to do, I must have, I did this, I did that, to there's Christ thank God for what he did for me. Thank God for the grace that he gave, he afforded me to do what I'm to be able to do what I can today, whether matter what, whatever it may be, whether it be stand up here, whether it be sing, play piano, run a soundboard, run a computer. It doesn't matter what position he puts you in. It's the leadership. Me goes out the window. There is no I in team. I mean, if they call that, there's no I in team. There is no I in leadership. The God is the only reason. His grace is the only reason to put you where you're at, no matter who or where he put you at in that day, whatever it may be, wherever it may be, whatever position it may be. But I thank him again, like I said, for affording me the grace to make it through the valley, the dark valley, and to be able to do what I can do for his service today, in today's present day and time, and in the future. I'd appreciate your prayers if whatever I may be able to do as far as helping the kids out, maybe teaching them, getting them an education somehow. But just help me to recognize, ask them to help me to recognize the role, the whether it be in leadership, whether it be in servanthood, through servanthood, being a servant. That's mainly the point that we try to get across, and that they're trying to get across through all these issues here in this discussion as far as leadership roles between the secular world and the spiritual world. But join me in prayer, if you would, please. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you again for each and every brother and sister here this evening. I thank you for the lesson that you've given as far as leadership role. Like I said, it's like looking in the mirror. We each look in a mirror each and every day of our lives throughout the day, no matter where we're at. And examining our souls, our hearts, those closets, they need cleaned out. And they need cleaned out on a everyday schedule. And we thank you for your son, like I said, sending your son and the grace that you afford each and every one of us throughout this life, throughout our lives, each and every life that's represented here and outside this church. And we thank you for the grace that you afford, the hope, and an eternal address that we each and every one of us have. Pray that you'd help us to show the world that same grace and that same hope through our actions, not just our words. Out there in the world, throughout the day, no matter where we're at work, home, school, wherever we may be, become better witnesses for you as well. We thank you again for each and every one, the family here that you have. I pray for their safety as we leave this evening as well. You grant safe traveling mercies as well, and bring us all back together this Sunday to worship again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.